All right, good evening, everybody. We're gonna continue with the courage test. I don't know which one it is, but it's like five, I think. It's four? Oh, excuse me. All right. Excuse me. Can't get nothing by the airs, can you? All right, so let's go into Philippians 4:6. And, you know, okay, we're going to spend some time talking about courage and the flip side of it to be D-I-S, courage or without courage, or another way of putting the discourage, we could say derailed by a failure of nerve. This pastor out of Columbus, Ohio, used that particular definition for the lack of courage, to be derailed by a failure of nerve, not having the nerve, not being able to have the courage. So Philippians 4:6, let's see what God says, what he says in his word. And Philippians 4:6 says this. It says, be careful, full of care for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Right, so when you see that word, be careful, another version says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. And then there's another version of the same version, the same verse that says, be worried for nothing. So that means there is nothing in our life we should be full of care, full of anxiety, or worried about. It says, but in everything. So the contrast to this after the semicolon, it says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It says, in the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Another version says, guard your hearts and minds. So to be anxious, to be worried, to be careful for nothing. And see, so if we are full of care, if we allow ourselves to get built up with care, concerned, or worry, again, that's going to weaken our ability to be courageous. Because a lot of times we're moving at a courageous pace, but then something comes to challenge that, your courage, and tries to get you to focus on the worst case scenario or the circumstances. But what it's trying to do is it wants you to sit there, hang out there, meditate on it, start to consider all the worst possibilities, because a lot of us have been trained in this world system to, if you prepare for the worst, you will handle it better. And then when it comes, you go, see, I was prepared for it. Of course you were prepared for it. You brought it into existence by even focusing on it. Job said in Job 3:25, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. The thing that I greatly feared. That means he introduced a possibility that didn't exist. So he didn't greatly faith, he greatly feared. He didn't greatly faith it, he greatly feared it. So we have to watch out, because in this world system, we're living in a world of fear and high anxiety. The world is set up that way. Hurry, 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 rush, rush, rush. That's one thing of transitioning from the East Coast of Northeast. Yeah, everything is rush, rush, rush. Everybody, like, you think you're going to miss out. So everybody, there's no courtesy. Like, you know, you're driving through the streets of New York. There's no, oh, no, after you. Because if you go after you, you're going to be waiting for another 50, 60 cars. So everybody's trying to take advantage of whatever opening or opportunity is available. And that's kind of how it is in life up there. It's urgent. It's rush. It's a world of anxiety. But we're talking about high anxiety. So high anxiousness, high worry, high concern, high cares. The world is set up where you better hurry up. Now think about it. Okay, you know, so you're in the insurance business, so I'm going to bring you in here. So, you know, one of the ways they sell insurance is to bring up all the cases of what could happen to you, and if you don't have insurance for it, right? Yeah, whether it's gonna happen or not, as part of you being a salesperson, you gotta paint a picture like, hey, you don't have insurance? Man, what's wrong? Like, you know what could happen if you do such and such, or if they're trying to sell a security system in your neighborhood, How come you ain't heard about it, but every time a security guy come by, he's the most informed person in your neighborhood? He'll be like, yeah, you know, there's been a lot of break-ins in this neighborhood, right? Why do you think he's saying that? Because if you start to worry, you're going to do what? You get a security system, right? It's real simple. And so the world system is set up to keep you so worried that you're not in faith. So everything is at an enormous rate and pace of change, overwhelming information. Think about it. So the kids was here. Now, the trip is, I never noticed these things before the kids came. No. Was they the first person I saw with? No. No, it was the Clemens kids. That's the first. They're the first people that exposed me to the is it fidgets or Fitbits or whatever. The things that spin, right? So I saw them. And I said, "Oh, that's cute." You know, never seen it before. Never paid attention. Now, I said I never saw it, but it was around. I just wasn't looking for it. Our kids come out, you know, they had a little extra money. We took them shopping, and they bought, you know, they high tech now. They got them with little bearings around them. Like, they have so many different versions of these things. So I was walking my grandson. I said, Mondale, I notice I see a lot of these things in all these kiosks. I said, I'm kind of somewhat concerned. Concerned from the standpoint of, I wasn't paying attention. I'm paying attention now, because I was like, he said it too. I said, could they be trying to do something to y'all? Because, you know, when you hypnotize people, look, I got y'all concerned. And I got y'all. Right. But I was like, I said, they got those things spinning and you got you looking at it all day. I said, I don't know. I said, I'm going to have to research this now, because it's an epidemic. And guess what? The kids got to get every one of them. They weren't thinking about them before, but I was watching. Ooh, that's a nice one. Like, every time they saw the what's it called? Fidget spinner? Every time they saw one, it was like they had to get the next one. So instead of them just having a fidget spinner, just a black one, and you just spin it, because it's supposed to be helping the kids, right? Because they fidget, right? Now they got all these different types of variations, and the kids are trying to keep up. You got a fidget spinner, but you ain't got one like this. Oh, mine got little balls around it. Oh, mine spin two ways. Pretty soon they're going to have two on one that spin at the same time. Right? They might have it already. But what I'm saying is, that's how society is. It overwhelms you. Whether it's cars, whether it's shoes, whether it's clothes, whether it's, every 6 months is a different phone, right? And it's set up like, you got to keep up, right? So it tries to create a world of anxiety. And see, what this does is, when you're in this world of anxiety or this world of fear, it produces weak and ineffective leaders who lack courage. And a lot of times they seek shortcuts and quick fixes. Because you're so overwhelmed, you're like, there's got to be an easy way around this. There's got to be a shortcut. There's got to be a quick fix, because it's just too much. And in a world of anxiety, that's why the scripture says, be still and know that I'm God, right? That's why God tells us to be quiet and to rest in him. Pastor Mel was talking about rest during the fast week. Why? Because if you get caught up in anxiety, anxiety is toxic to God's leaders and God's people. It's toxic. It'll poison you to be rush. You ever see some people, when they're really going through the multiple crises, and let's say they go through a crisis, they hide that. They go through a crisis, they hide that. They go through a crisis, they pretend that's not there. They go through a crisis, so they're not getting rid of it. They sweep it under the rug, so they think it's gone. And you notice, if you ever watch, those people deal with a lot of anxiety attacks. So what they did, they build up, they pushed anxiety to suppress it to a point where now it builds up and it starts attacking them. It starts to fight back. It's like it's trying to get out the cage, right? And they go, I don't know where this came from. Well, you've been storing these fears. What do you think they're going to do? Something that has to go somewhere. And so what it does is it attacks you, right? And see, this this anxious world that we're in is dangerous because its main characteristic is devaluing or degrading leadership. See, because again, leadership and guidance represents challenge. And when you're in a world of fear and care, the first thing you're running from is challenge, because that's a new thing you got to do. That's another standard you got to live up to. See, so if I can degrade or devalue leadership, that's one less thing that I have to consider in all these other keep up things I'm trying to consider. Talking to a guy at the gym, he might see this, but he'll know who I'm talking about. I don't know if everybody else would know. But when I first met him, he told me his nickname was White Chocolate. So I'm talking to him, and we was talking to him, and he was talking about like wanting to not being accepted by no group of people. Like, he was like you guys don't even accept me. Like, I don't fit in, I'm not with nobody. And I said, well, no, it's real simple with us. I said, our common denominator is the word. I said, so I met Kel back when he was in college. His mother had died. I said, but my dominant conversation with him was the word. And we talked about basketball too, but I wanted him to get God because I thought that would help with his dreams and what he wanted to do. Then when I met Felipe, I talked to him about the Lord. And about Kelly, because he reminded me of what I went through with Kelly. So then Kelly came out and talked to him about the Lord and talked to him about how I talked to him. So I said, then Darryl Harrison, he's been here. So we were talking about the Lord. So I said, this is our common denominator, genuineness and the Lord. I said, so we're not, but I know it was overwhelming as I kept talking to him. He's been trying to keep up. So he said one of the people among our crew told another person that he was sorry. And he said, you know, I still remember that 2 years later. So I was trying to get him to understand, like, you can't live your life trying to prove yourself. You gotta be yourself. And you're easily accepted. So I'm going somewhere with this. So be patient with me. Work with me here. So this society creates an anxiousness where you got to keep up, keep up, keep up, keep up. And I remember when I left the keep up world, it was so much peace. Because now I'm in liberty. Because guess what? I could be Keith good. Like, I could be a good Keith. But I can't be a Lamar. I can't be a Lamar if I try. I can't keep... Sometimes I pick with people, so I'm going to pick a writer right now. So we was in the game, and some guy was talking. He was talking to us. I told him to stop talking. And I explained to him, I said, our conversation is scoring baskets. That's how we talk. Not, because I think I said, it's not a debate, right? We're not out here. So we're not trying to run for presidency. We're trying to win a basketball game. So if we just score buckets, they could talk. One guy was talking to the guy RC on our team. He can't dribble. He crossed left, crossed right, took off in the air, and dunked on him. That's all he needed to say. That was enough. Listen, the dude looked funny, stupid through the rest of the game. Why? Because RC talked with his game, not with his mouth. Right? Never mind. Let me stay focused. It just wasn't pretty out there. Whew. But anyway, so we got to get to a point where we are operating in character. As me and my wife was having a conversation coming in, and we were just talking about how the people just are losing sight of character. So she said, people don't even know what integrity and character really mean. I said, well, babe, no, we skipping a step. People ain't looking for integrity and character. So they definitely ain't going to be looking for the definition. And so I was telling, I saw a post that they was talking about a particular artist who has a clean album. He made all his money on, I ain't say the name, made all his money on dirty albums, but now it's clean. So they was like, who wouldn't listen to this person? And then they gave his financial figures. So what are they saying? because of his financial figures, then we should be listening to him. And I told her, I said, we all do this. Yeah, but they paid, though. They paid. So now your credibility is just what's in your pocket. She will tell you, because we talk to a lot of people that got this in their pocket that aren't happy. There's a particular person that tried to drive his Lamborghini off a cliff. He had all the money in the world, but he sure took that Lamborghini and just went off that cliff. That's not, I'm not telling this business, that was common knowledge at the time. You know, I heard it, I was there to hear the testimony of why he did it. But, and when the police came, they didn't go, you okay? Oh, can I get your autograph? He just drove his Lamborghini off the cliff. See, because what he had in his pocket made him credible, not his character and his integrity. Please, everybody in here, please get as much as you can in your pocket. I'm not telling you not to get. What I'm saying is, if you have the financial wherewithal, but you don't have the character, it's only going to be temporary anyway. It will drive you crazy. Because money just make you more who you are. So I'm saying that for a reason. So let's, because we're talking about courage, but we're going to see what the core of courage really is. And see, we've crossed over to a place in our lives, in this culture, where anxiety and the poison of it, or fear or worry or discouragement, has lowered our pain threshold. We'll call it pain threshold. So with the result that comfort is valued over the rewards of facing challenges. So we're in a culture where comfort has more value than the rewards of facing challenges. Comfort is valued over the rewards of facing challenges. Or symptoms come in fads and cures go in and out, like style and fashion, but no one's trying to walk in character. Me and Karen was talking at the gym, and I was talking about something that I'm trying to do that's been difficult to me, that swim. But I was keep saying how I keep putting myself in these uncomfortable situations because I want to challenge myself. So certain workouts I'll do because I want to challenge myself. I was telling my grandson how I used to travel through all my neighborhoods, and I call it conquering the court. But I would go someplace. Is it called desegregation? What is it called? Segregation. So it was it was predominantly black community, but it was segregated. Not black and white. It was segregated. If you weren't from that hood, you don't go there. I went anyway. So, you know, sometimes you like to go where everybody knows your name. No, I went where no one knew my name. Because I said, if I could master that court, right, then my game would have to be at a whole nother level. Gave myself 2 weeks. Then once I mastered it, most people just keep going back to the court. No. I went to the next court. Gave myself 2 weeks. Went to the next court. I went to every court in North New Jersey till I can go anywhere. And they go, yo, pick my man up. I challenged myself to be uncomfortable because I wasn't comfortable with just being like everybody else. I practiced with my team in college. I practiced before the team. I practiced with the team. I practiced after the team. Went to eat in the cafeteria and came back. Practiced with the dudes that was on intramural. Because I wanted to get everything the team got and then some. If you taught me something, I'm going to do what you say and take it to another level. Ask my sister, how do you know scriptures? How do you know? Oh, I just pray for a desire to know the word. So I said, okay, got it. I'm going to pray for a desire to know the word, but I'm going to ask God for also a desire to know where it's at. So not just I can tell you in the Bible, but I can show you where it's at in the Bible. My roommate would get up and run. So what are you doing? If he said he ran a mile, I'm running 3. How many reps you doing? 40, I'm doing 60. Always challenging myself to do something at another level. And I'm saying that because that's how this world was built. This world was built on embracing challenge, not looking for comfort. Oh, I did all that without any work. This world wasn't built on people waiting for retirement, sitting around sleeping, man. I'm about to retire, man. I'm just going to be sleeping and doing. You were not even designed to do that. At 60-something years old, you still got your. There's billionaires building billion-dollar buildings at 75. People sitting around at 65 with three-quarters of the income they was making. Atrophying, getting aches and pains. No, we were built to achieve. The virtuous woman, what was she doing? She was handling all types of business. She had strength. She had courage to do things that hadn't been done. It takes courage to do business. It takes courage to be diligent. So I just want us to, like, stop, get around the quick fixes or the shortcuts. People without nerve pursue quick fixes and shortcuts. Got to be a shortcut. Got to be a way around this. So if I say that I'm not really serious, then I really did lose because I wasn't playing. No, you lost. They really didn't do better than me because I wasn't really. If I was doing my best, what would they have done? Don't nobody know whether you was doing your best or not. All we know is you took an L. Right? But to see, that's weak. We can't be weak. We gotta stretch ourselves. You know, when someone in your household is challenging you to step up, they might be challenging you to exercise, they may be challenging you to read more. Why are we fighting? Let me ask you something. Why are we fighting the person that's trying to help us to be better more than we fighting the devil that's trying to weaken us? Well, I be seeing, we stick our chest out. Listen, don't be telling me that you just, who you talking. Let me hear all that conversation with the devil. We quick to defend somebody challenging us, but are we quick to defend when the devil is trying to attack us? Let me see your toughness to punk the devil, because I sure would like to see that fight. See, you understand what I'm saying? Like, we got to get back to what God has designed us to be, right? And so, and a lot of this started, like, with Aaron. You know, Aaron and them was going through the wilderness. So it took courage to be in the wilderness, right? And then Moses go to the mountain. So it takes courage to wait on this leader to go up, get from God, come back, because he's trying to hear from God about the rest of your life. So the leader's going to spend some time, and for a while it's going to look like nothing's happening. They were in the wilderness. They were in the wilderness, and for a while it looked like nothing was happening. And it wasn't no 2 days. Well, after 2 days, something should have happened by now. Now, for a while, it looked like nothing was happening. Then what they do? They got weak. They lost their nerve and built the golden calf and then said, this is the God that brought us out of Israel. You just made it. Aaron should have said, I brought you out of Israel because I made the calf. How you going to make something and call it a God? But that was weak. Well, there's got to be another way we can simulate what we really want without waiting on Moses. He might not come back. Everybody starts speaking worst case scenarios. He might not come back. It might not work out for us. It looks uncertain. So, hey, let's come up with something else. Like Sarah and Abraham. Well, God said we was going to have a kid, but maybe he was playing. Maybe he meant we should adopt the kid. Maybe we should clone a kid. Something. But God didn't really mean we was going to have a kid. You know, at this point, we're 80-something years old. So, who gives their husband to another woman? Like, no, I know none of the ladies in here going to thinking like that. Baby, you go ahead. You go into her. That's what the Bible said, didn't it, babe? And the whole time, God had a plan, but see, it looked like nothing was going to happen. It was taking too long. 11 years had went by. A whole 11 years. If God tells you something, who cares how long it takes? It's taking as long as it takes for your character to handle what God's sending you. So now they have to go another 15 years, 86, 13 years for what God said he was going to do the first time. See, if you really believe God, you would wait on what he has for you. It takes a while for us to handle it. It's not, listen, it's a given that God's going to give it to you, but it's not a given that you'll be able to handle it. All our work is handling it. That's why we got to come in. We got to press to be here Wednesday, Sunday, 9:15. Guy talk, girl talk. Grab a CD, go on a SoundCloud. But I want to make sure I'm getting everything I need so when God sends me what I have, I'm ready for it. When we say I don't need that, we're saying I'm willing to risk delaying what God has for me even longer than I already have to wait for. Okay. That's going over real well. All right, so, weakness or the lack of courage has us to compromise, and compromise is the adversary's spiritual bribe. So what he comes to you and says, hey, I can relieve this pressure and this pain. You don't have to even deal with this. I can relieve it. Like, you know, let's be realistic. Y'all know ibuprofen, whatever the thing is. Y'all know that stuff don't cure nobody, right? It's temporary relief of the symptoms. But it's actually numbing the pain, if it numbs the pain. Sometimes it don't even do that. But you know it's eating your insides up too, right? Did y'all know that? Well, if you didn't know it, I'm telling you right now, it's eating your insides up, right? Yeah, so what you're saying is I want temporary relief of this pain, but it's eating your insides up. Just for the record, I'm not saying I've never, at this point in my life, I can't take it. My body rejects it, right? But what I'm saying is we gotta watch taking shortcuts. And this is another thing we do, we take shortcuts without courage. We play the blame game. So it's, if it wasn't for them, if they hadn't done this, if my parents was better parents, baby, I'd have had millions of dollars for you. But them peoples did me wrong. Man, come on, man. Okay, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Just stand there and keep talking about what has happened? Oh, we're going to move forward. The scripture says, forget the things that are behind us, press toward the mark. I'm not trying to be insensitive. I went through a lot of pain. Quite a few people in the room went through a lot of pain. But what are we going to do? We're either going to use it to our advantage or let it crush us, right? So we got to watch that blame game. You know, arrogant people become bullies. When you see people are bullies, you know, they're blaming somebody else for what they went through, so they're trying to take it out on other people. You know, people that's gone through stuff or playing the blame game, they always got to have their way. If they don't get their way, they get offended. Everybody's neglecting you. They try to push authority. So if somebody tells them something rises up with them right away. Instead of going, I received that. They look at you like, let me see. Oh, perfect example. Got a little grandson. And so you tell them you can't do something. So I call it a chandelier, but it's a tambourine. All right, leave the tambourine alone. All right, so he's going to go, okay. Hoping you do what? Turn away. He going to figure out a way to this tambourine. He don't care about the tambourine. Know what he cares about? Doing the opposite of what you told him. Because he thinks direction is control. He doesn't understand it's wisdom and it's advice. It's a benefit. I was talking about my little grandson. But actually what I just said is some of y'all in the room. Soon somebody tell you something, you ain't doing it just because somebody told you. Because finally you had a place in your life, I guess you could say, well, I want the control. No, the control is given to a person that has character to handle it. You need to give up the controls. If you can't handle authority, give it up. Listen, I can't handle authority. So I'm submitting to God. I serve everybody. Because I'm wise enough to know I can't handle authority. So I submit to God. I serve people. The fire chief, the fire inspector came here to inspect, more money, came here to inspect. And so everything they asked me to do, I did it. I wasn't, y'all ain't here, y'all just trying to hustle. I ain't do it. The air guy had to come in again, more money, right? With everything he asked us to do, I had to roll with him. But I wasn't like, let me tell you something, I run this place up in here. No. Actually, if I'd have got smart with the fire person, which I knew better than that, I wanted the fire people on our side. So just told me some things we had to do, some things we got to pay. I didn't tell you, but just a couple dollars here and there. You know, and they went on their way. But I had to submit to them. But I'm going to rise up. So come on, we got to get better with that. So there's courage. What I'm trying to get us to realize, there's some courage in the wait. Wait till you have somebody give you authority. Wait till people want to submit unto you. Wait. This scripture says, you're on the tutors of governor to the point in time of the Father. But the scripture says, wait on the Lord. Look. Be of good courage. And he'll strengthen your heart. See, we have weak hearts because we're not waiting on the Lord. When you're impatient and you do what you haven't been approved to do, you're just weakening yourself that much more. The longer you wait on the Lord, the stronger your heart gets. He said you'll mount up with wings as eagles. You'll run and not be weary. You'll walk and not faint. You won't even have the ability to give up. So the courage to wait on character to handle the weight of purpose. The courage to wait on character to handle the weight of purpose. We want to rush the purpose and we ain't ready for it. Skipping all the stages, right? So the scripture says this in Romans 8. You write it down, but I'm going to read it from some different versions. Romans 8, 18 through 28. It says, that's why I don't think there is any comparison between the present hard times. So the present hard times, the Bible says we're going to have present hard times, and the coming good times. The created world itself can hardly wait. The created world itself, so if we conform to it, can hardly wait for what's coming next. Everything in creation is being more or less held back or restrained. God reigns it in until both creation and all the creatures are ready and can be released at the same moment into glorious times ahead. So he's waiting on the creation, purpose, and the creature who should be us walking character. And he wants to be release us at the same time. That's glorious. But if you get creation and not character, that's disastrous. But if you have purpose and character, is glorious. Because you have the right. That's when you, you know, some of these, whether it's teens, whether it's businesses, and people, I use Southwest. Yeah, people love Southwest. When the airplanes companies crashed, Southwest was still standing. Because they had the character to operate in patience and wisdom. They had reserves. So when they first started, the other company started to try to catch up by making you pay for baggage. So your ticket may be $50, but you're paying $200 for baggage, right? Southwest wasn't doing that because Southwest wasn't hurting. Because that person waited before they birthed Southwest. So they operated in a different character. And you could tell the business. And people love working for some of these companies. Right? Same thing if you have a ministry. Some of you mess up, you rush into ministry, you'll be a leader with nobody following them, is just taking a walk. People follow great character because they can trust you. How are you with the people in your house? You trust them if they got good character? If they don't have good character, I don't know what they're going to do. You don't trust them. Ask them 1,000 questions. What about this? What about that? What about that? Because you don't trust them. Right, so it's character. We gotta have character. Read that. Meanwhile, the joyful anticipation deepens. I think I'm at verse 22. I'm reading, I think, out of the message. I forgot. Verse 22-25. It says, all around us we observe a pregnant creation. It says the difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pains. So embrace the pain. It says, but it's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We are also feeling the birth pains. It says, these sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. So see, God sterilizes us and he cleanses us to prepare us to birth purpose. But we running from the sterilization. You know what that is? That's called sanctification. We worm from the barren times. That's removing everything that's in a way of making the proper communion with God. But he's preparing you to birth something. But we running, we trying to add on. Every time God removes something, we trying to add something. Trying to take on more of the world. Right? It says, that is why waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. Waiting doesn't take you out. We are enlarged in the waiting. We are enlarged. So do you have the courage to get large? First Chronicles 4:10, a prayer of Jabez, enlarge my territory. You know, it takes courage to receive enlargement. Because sometimes y'all want to stay small because I can control this. But we talked about it the other day. God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above you all you can ask or think so you can be a blessing to others. So we, of course, don't see what is enlarging us. We don't see what's enlarging us. But the longer we wait, the larger we become and the more joyful our expectancy is. The longer we wait, the larger we become and the more joyful our expectancy is. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in us and for us, making prayer out of wordless sighs and aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves. He knows our pregnant condition and keeps us present before God. That's why we can be sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. That's Romans 8:18. You know, after it says the sufferings of this present time are worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Then it goes on at verse 28, it says, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and called according to his purpose. But that's the message. I think it's the message. See, the message of New Living Translation. I think it's the message. Or the Amplified. Just one of those three. but it's really, it was. I read it. And I thought it was powerful how it was saying we're enlarged in the waiting. If we can just wait. If we just don't quit. If we have enough courage. Philippians 3 verse 10, this is another version too, it says, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and fellowship of his suffering. Now, sufferings means restraint, retaliation, and uninterrupted momentum. So it's like this, not just summoning enough love to forgive and forget, but enough courage not to quit. Not summoning, see, so when I'm suffering and I'm restraining myself because I want to lash out, go off, I want to quit, I want to, the gentleman I was talking to today says, you know, stuff be happening. I'd be thinking like, maybe I should just go off on folk. Or one of the football players said he was sitting in his car for a long period of time out in front of the agent's offices. And he was thinking about how he can just go, he had his gun with him, how he can just go and shoot them all up. He didn't do it because they took all his money. See, but for him to go in there to shoot everybody up, he would have had to what? Quit. That's it, man. That's it. Because the guy was asking me, he said, now what do I do? I'm embarrassed by what happened in this situation. This pastor told me not to retaliate. So what do I do? I said, so for you, it's all or none. Either you go off or you retreat. I said, but there's a middle ground. He says, I can't talk to him. Yeah, but see, that's the wisdom. The wisdom is to engage and have the conversation. But see, it takes courage to do that. It takes courage to face a seemingly unfaceable situation. To have that tough exchange and conversation. You know, we listen, I love this relationship right here. And I love the fun part. I love the laughing part. We be laughing and have fun. But I love the growing part. I didn't say I like the growing part. I said I love the growing part. And the difference is the part I don't like is uncomfortable and it hurts. So I'm not telling you I like that, but I love it, though, because of the benefits of it. So we courageously have to talk to it. We have to talk it through. We have to challenge one another. We have to have the tough conversations. So I love that because I know we're going to continue to grow. We just keep getting closer and closer. And there ain't no pink elephants walking around. Ain't an elephant in our house. Because we're going to talk about, like, we can't even sit still without, nah. Well, honey, is that this? Her line to be. So, honey, can I talk to you? So my responsibility at that point is grit your teeth because it's about to be painful right now. You're about to hear something that's going to be humbling, that's going to hurt. You think you got it all together, Pastor Keith, but you don't. And you're about to find out where you don't have it together. And Pastor Mel about to tell you. And once you get going, she ain't going to stop. Once she got you, she's going to give you an angle and another angle and a breakdown of the angle. Just in case you didn't get it, she's going to really make it clear for you. But that's great. I need that. I don't walk away from that going, God, she tripping. I go, okay, what do I need to do now? Whew. Man, listen, that was pretty tough right there. But I love that because I know we're going to grow. Instead of pretending. No, we can't pretend. We ain't pretending at this church either. Let me see. Find that text for me. I might use it. I don't know if I should. I might use it. Right? All right, so it says that my normal power of resurrection. I'm reading Philippians 3, verse 10 in another version, and I said, suffering is retained. Restrain retaliation, uninterrupted momentum, not just summoning enough love to forgive and forget, but also enough courage not to quit. Because when you snap, you quit. Right? This is good. So I'm in a solid covenant, you ain't breaking me out of this. To break out of this or to compromise this, I have to quit. There has to be some quit in me. I have to be weary with doing well. So I use this. I love this relationship, the Ayers family. I love it. I didn't say I like it all the time, but I do love it. It's challenging because people be asking stuff. I like, where did that come from? Give me my text. I'm going to do this without incriminating nobody. At least I hope. All right, so a person was just saying, you know, thank you for your concern that you've had for us. But then there's one particular person that says, well, I'm surprised that your concern stopped for them. So this was my response. I said, well, you know, sad to hear that. I said, listen to this because this is everybody. I said, we haven't stopped caring or praying for you and your family. I said, my wife had talked to the person. I guess the other person didn't know my wife talked to the person. So I just threw that as an honorable mention. Right, I said, so my wife talked to the person, recently. And then I said, when people are going through, you have to be wise with your approach. You must give runners, emphasizing quote runners, you must give runners space to choose help, and the hungry and thirsty food when needed. So people that are running, so think about it. If one of y'all decide, so if Jimmy over here decides all of a sudden he ain't coming to church, for y'all it's just simple, right? We just run to Jimmy's house. Okay, depending on the type of person Jimmy is, us running to his house, be like, thank y'all for coming to his house. But you know, that's one out of seven Jimmys. The other six is, well, just because I just come to church for a couple weeks, I could have been on vacation. You know, why y'all sweat me like that? You know, just going to come over my house like that? You know, like, dog, you know, what's this, a cult? See, y'all don't know all that, right? Everything is all, let's run after Jimmy. All right, but I'm just giving you a different approach. I said you have to be wise with your approach. People that are running, you have to give space to one help. And the hungry and thirsty food when needed, because the Bible says they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. It didn't say that they that run from hunger and thirst, right? What did I say? Food when needed. But you can't think, okay, give food when needed, but you can't think you can ever invest more in a person's life than they're willing to invest in themselves. So us as leaders, we can never be so arrogant and think that we can invest more in your lives than you're willing to invest. You got first dibs on your own life. So let's say if you don't care about your life, we can't care about your life more than you. It's your life. If you don't care, we can care all we want. That ain't gonna stop you from destroying your life. It starts with you, right? All right, so y'all got that so far? Y'all still with me? Y'all ain't leave yet, are you? Everybody's still here, okay. All right, so we never have and never will reject you or your family or anyone that's hungering or thirsting to be filled. And we have 100% track record. We've never rejected anyone that was hungry and thirsty. Right? I said, we just respect you all enough to not force feed you. So that was my response. Because think about it. If somebody, like if one of y'all said you don't care about me, how'd you test it? You didn't. You just felt we didn't care about you. You didn't come up to me and ask us did we care. You didn't press into us for time. You just assumed because I don't know what you're doing. And honestly, you're assuming that we're waiting to see if you're going to be here or not. You don't know if we've had 300 people to deal with that week. And be honest, we just didn't get to you yet. You have no idea of who are hungry and thirsty to be fed and that we're feeding. You see what I'm saying? It's always... Y'all good with that? Y'all all right? Did that sound incriminating or anything? Because I ain't say no names, right? The response was the wisdom to understand that we got to be courageous, y'all. We can't just quit because it's uncomfortable. We can't quit because it's not going our way. We can't quit because we're not in control. And we definitely can't quit because we're being challenged. How are you going to get what God has? Is somebody just going to give it to you? If they give it to you, you're going to lose it because you don't have the character to handle it. Oh, but in your own understanding, you do. Well, then how come you don't have it? We had a conversation. So we had a conversation. This is a while ago. We have transparent conversations. Ministers, I have to have transparent conversations. And I was saying, think about it. God ain't came down and made sure you are at this particular ministry at this time. I probably something like that, right? Something close. I said, so I'm no better than God. So I can say this to everybody in the room. Whatever you believe in for, God ain't just came. If it ain't you ain't got it yet, God ain't came down and gave it to you. Why? Because God doesn't give us nothing that we can't handle. It's not rocket science. It's not a punishment. It's actually a protection. God is not punishing us. Like, it ain't like something wrong with you. It's just you're still having to embrace some things and grow. But hey, have it your way. Do it your way. The scripture says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Pastor Mel mentioned that scripture last week. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not through my own understanding. Not because I think it don't take all that. Everybody, let the adults tell the young people. All of us done tried to, I don't think it take all that. How'd it work? Trina, did it work? Did it work? Z, Pastor Mal, it don't work. So why do you gotta, my son used to like, yeah, well, you went through your stuff. Don't go through my stuff. Create your own. Learn from me. But no, we know we sweet. We know stuff. Anyway, what is wrong with Pastor Keith? I just love you all. All right, so the inner strength of a man or courage is forged in character. Courage is forged in character. Character is the foundation of all courage. So if you find yourself afraid and you And if be honest with yourself when you are, that's not important to me. Is it not important to you, or are you afraid you're not going to get it? Well, no, I don't think it take all. No, I just don't have a desire to do that. You don't have a desire to do that, or you don't think you're going to get the positive results. I was telling one of the players yesterday, man, it's not about makes and misses. Yeah, listen, I've been making and missing shots for years. And guess what? Me and you was watching NBA Summer League. These dudes, some of them are pro. Some of them have contracts already. What was the shot shooting percentage? 24? 24% shooting. Them dudes was missing everything. Hey, but I noticed something. Some of them missed 4 or 5 shots in a row, then getting taken out of the game. Coach didn't go, no. Hey, give me my money back. You know why? Because they know they're going to miss shots. They were seeing how they handle misses. Everybody's going to miss shots. But we be basing stuff on, like, if I make shots, I'm sweet now, I can talk trash. If I miss shots, I can't say nothing. No. You're supposed to just play. Same thing in life. If everything's going well, I might be at church all the time. Based on if I think God has met my standards. If God hasn't met my standards, then I'm not going to church. God's not real if things aren't going my way. But God's real if things are going my way. Show me that in the Bible. If you show it to me in the Bible, hey, listen, I'll change my whole sermon around. Because the Bible doesn't say that. It says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, different tests and trials. Knowing this, the trying of your faith works patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you'll be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. The Bible says you're under tutors and governors to the appointed time of the Father, his timing, not yours. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible says all things work together for good if you love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So that means the good, the bad, and the ugly works out for your good. But we look at ugly and go, surely God can't be involved in this. Well, ask Job about that then. Job lost everything. Ask Joseph about that. Joseph was in prison, enslaved, and got betrayed. And ended up being prime minister of everything. Everybody had to come to him. Ask Moses about it. We can go through the list. Ask David, who thought he had a kingdom, got the kingdom, and then his son betrayed him to take the kingdom away. The list goes on and on through the Bible. Daniel, finally, I'm up top, I'm a president. Now they're going to feed me to the lions? The way we act, we be like, hold on a second. I done went through all this mess, and y'all going to be trying to feed me the lions? What kind of God is that? See, if God was real, I wouldn't be in his lines then. No, he was like, I don't care what the circumstances is. I walk up in the den. I know who God is. I know he loves me. His plan is always better than mine. We wouldn't even have a testimony if he didn't believe God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay, I'm not bowing down to you. And we're going to go in this fire. We believe God will save us. If he don't save us, we still believe in him. Where's that type of courage? And ain't none of us even dealing with fires. We dealing with, jobs or teams and stuff like that. Ain't nobody there. How many of y'all just had to get burned to fire this week? Nobody. Yeah, so come on, we need some courage. See, this is the thing, character is like a well. And it's a well in which courage draws its strength. So everything we're trying to teach here is trying to build character. Now, we're not going through scriptures just to go through it. We're not going through scriptures so we can read a scripture today and you can go watch some booty movies. Sorry about that. just watch the wrong films on the internet tomorrow. No. This is trying to give you the strength to resist it. We all see it. Every one of us in the room, male and female, we all see it. Temptation is all around us. You trying to put something in your character to not to yield to temptation. Because you can't walk around with your eyes closed. Because you're going to be running into walls and tripping over stuff and crashing all the time. Male and female. So Pastor Mel and I aren't saying you're going to be blind. What we're saying is build your strength. and stop cheating your opportunities to build your strength by feeding on the word. That's what we're saying. So we want you to have the faith to wait. The faith, it's kind of like courage is faith. It's kind of synonymous because, like it's a proved faith and tried integrity. So your integrity has been tested. Will you do the right thing when no one's watching? My grandkids, they was at the pool. They was so I had them all day one day, and I was just so every chance I got, you know. So what is integrity? Doing the right thing when no one's watching. What is integrity? Doing what I say. So they had a break at the pool. They playing around under the thing. I said, Mondo, go ask your sisters, what does integrity mean? So little Nyla comes over. Integrity, doing the right thing when no one's watching. So to ask them all day. We were talking to Mondale yesterday, and we were talking about doing the right thing. So what I did, I took him out after our game, took him to another basketball court because he wanted to shoot. So I said, okay, these are the drills. I said, I'm going to give you the drills, and you got to have your footwork. You got to do it the right way. I said, I'm going to walk over in the weight room, but I'm going to keep sneaking back over here. I said, I'm going to see if you're doing the right thing when no one's watching, because I want you, because I'm not going to be in Columbus. I need you to do the right thing consistently when no one's watching, because I showed them this film. I created a film for them, and I said, okay, this is what I do every time I'm shooting. I said, I'm trying to be consistent. I said, when I was pursuing basketball, I had to award myself fun time. But if I didn't make a certain amount of shots in a row, there was no fun. There was nobody there but me. If I had fun time, who's going to cuss me out or anything? Nobody. But I heard the Holy Spirit said, no, dude. Now, you're going to shoot that until you make it. So you will be here all day shooting them same mic and hook shots until you make 50 in a row on each hand. So you shouldn't have missed. I don't care if you're tired. So I would be doing stuff like that. Nobody's around. But that's how you have to live. Like, if I don't read the word, what y'all going to do? Pastor, don't even get in the pulpit. Pastor Mel, you get in the pulpit. Pastor Keith, sit down. You weren't reading. What y'all going to do? Y'all don't know. Right? But I have to do the right. Yeah, if I don't pray for y'all. Yeah, now y'all need me praying for y'all. I'm talking about everybody by name. I'm talking about the Andersons, AJ. I ain't forgot about AJ. I'm praying for him every day. Hezekiah, Gabrielle, Amelia. I got to pray for her. The list goes on and on. Jonah, Max, Rosie. Desiree, Lenny. Your mom and dad. Well, I be on the road, boy. But, because I be wanting to, dream. I like dreaming. But by the time I get to the gym, to get through all y'all names and the whole family, and not just the people here, the people that's visited, the people that to me, they still connected, even though they've been out of, rhythm. See? But doing the right thing when no one's watching. So we got to get to that point. And I'm going to hit this because this is important. So understand, there was this is 2017, right? So let's take it back to 1817, okay? So from that time, 150 years from 1817 up until maybe 19, we'll say 60-something, right? The culture, our entire culture was based on they call it persona, but image or character. So it says they call, the penny has an image in it. It's and they say you could run over with a train, but the image will still be in there. We're made in his image and after his likeness. So it's engraved in us. It's embedded so deep, we can go through any level of pressure, but God should still be shining out. That's what character would be. So that's how the culture was, the foundation of the culture was. So the first 150 years, it was focused on integrity, humility, loyalty, temperance, courage, justice, patience, simplicity, modesty. You didn't have to fight for people to be modest. It was an exception to the rule not to be modest, because people understood, especially male and female, understood that the what did y'all call it when y'all was talking about the outfits? Y'all said goods. What you the kids was talking about when they showing you goods? All right, so people understood the goods was personal to the people that they were intimate with. They weren't on display. They didn't want to cause nobody else to stumble. I don't roll around with my shirt off all the time, she'll tell you. I don't roll around trying to show my guns or nothing like that. No, I just pray. All right. No, why? Because I have a level of modesty. Because why? This is my wife. Not everybody in the country. See, so we lose sight of these foundational principles. The culture was based on solid character. That character is made in secret and displayed openly. See, now it's about what you can, I don't want to skip. So the only person that you really cared about back then was God. So your approval, your peer pressure, your fad to keep up with was God. That's how it was. Solid character. You know, I heard this statement: a genius without character expresses himself as a fool. So the person has a genius IQ, but he doesn't have character. So he sounds like a fool. He's talking about a whole lot of stuff that's deep, but he doesn't have the character to keep it focused and to break it down to a point where everybody can understand it. But he's so confident because he has a high IQ. So he's priding himself in, you don't know what I know. That ain't the goal. You know that's not the goal, right? The goal is not for no one to know what you know. The goal is for all of us to know what we all know. Duh! Freely has been given to you, freely you give. The goal is not, aha, I know this, you don't. That means I have to be separate from you. I need you. What are we doing? So don't compensate for laziness. Make a demand on discipline and character. Don't baby laziness. I'm just lazy. Okay, now that you realize that, change it. Don't just stay there. No, I'm just lazy. See, secure integrity. And this is why you want to lock into integrity. People of integrity expect to be believed. They expect to be believed. If not, they have the courage to let time confirm their truth. They don't have to prove themselves. They don't have to fight. They expect to be believed. See, listen, we out here in a place we've never been before, casting vision at Ayers Christian Center Church to some people we didn't know until we came out here. Guess what? God had to forge character for us to do that, because we have to expect you to believe what God is telling us. So God tells you something. I ain't sharing that. Ain't nobody believing that. Okay, so now's the stopgap. God's communicating something you need to get, and I'm like, whoa, no, you go tell him. I'm not telling him that. No. Well, why I got to do the Moses thing? Well, why I got to? Now, you know, good and well, they're going to trip. Oh, here we go, Pastor Keith, Mr. Holy. Oh, okay, so now we're going to have this big building. We're going to have a gym. It's going to be multi-purpose. It's going to be a skating ring and then a bowling alley in it. Okay. All right. You hear this, dude? He must be kidding. No. I don't talk like that. I'm going to tell you what God says. I expect to be believed. And guess what? If you don't believe me, and I deal with this right now at Ayers Christian Center Church. I deal with this right now in the body of Christ. I deal with this right now. Oh, we deal with this. Apologize, babe. We together. We all as one here. We have the courage to let time confirm the truth that we express. That's the hard part. See, you don't have the courage. If you don't have the courage at that time, you're going to what? You're going to bail out. You're going to give up. You're going to go with the crowd, because that's easier. Because everybody's there. But it takes courage, man, to be a pioneer. Do you know the pilgrims could have went back home? The boats didn't break down. Was it the Pinto, the Santa Maria, and the, what's the other one? There's three, right? The Nina. We made them and put them in glass, so I used to know them. But they could, look, uncertainty, place you never been, Indians already in the land, right? They could have been like, listen, I was just mad at England, but I was tripping. And I guarantee you some people thought it. Man, let's just get back in the boat and go back. No, they had the courage. Look, while they were colonizing this country, there was a country in England that was already done. Already had the buildings, already had the lands, already had the thing. This country, so who been overseas? So you've been overseas, it's sweet over there, ain't it? And the trip is, if you haven't been over there before, when you go over there, you say to yourself, oh, they have a civilization over here. You know, because you think America's it. We behind, ain't we? The structures they have are phenomenal because they're thousands of years old. We're hundreds. We're babies. The United States is Ayers Christian Center Church. Europe, and a lot of those places in Europe, is the 25,000 seat church. America ain't turned around and went back. They continue to build and grow. It takes courage. And so we have to, when it, those pioneers, George Washington, well, I just threw George Washington because he's the first president, but those people, Columbus and them, they had to have the courage to say, because you know they got heat, right? Y'all be back. They probably had some people come over on a boat just to go, anybody want to come back? No. Columbus and them tripping anyway, man. Listen, I know you miss grandma's food. Remember we used to go down to the pub? Yeah, they built a whole new wing on that pub. You want to come back? Pressure. But you have to have courage to resist the temptation to turn and run back and to stick it out. When you start that business and you start that job and you do something different and you're in a new place, it takes courage. God gets things done differently in different places when he gets courageous people. He's trying to start like Ayers is different. I didn't say better or worse. Did y'all hear me say that? Nobody heard me say that. I said it's different. Because he needs not just, I know this ain't gonna be the only church, right? Okay, if you don't know, I just told you. All right, but he has to start somewhere. He has to start somewhere. So he's brought this remnant together to begin something. But it takes courage for all of us to stay tight in agreement, not to quit, not to give up, not get weak in character, so God can do what he wants to do. It takes courage to do that. But but if you keep hanging around people that trying to weaken yourself, weaken you, that's going to be dangerous. So if you're not willing to give up everything, you've already lost. Courage means I'm willing to give up everything, to be all in. Now we talked about that, emptying out. That's what courage means, right? So we have to be courageous to learn how to press. Scripture says, press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. Now, I know everybody's not been athletes, but try to understand what I'm trying to say when I say this. Have we forgot how to play with pain? And I guess I can make this statement. Have we ever learned it? Have we ever learned how to play with pain? Do you know there's athletes that's lost their jobs because no one ever taught them how to play with pain? So as soon as they got hurt, they was like, well, I'm hurt. It's nothing I can do now. I'm hurt. And they got cut. And then it was like, so they walking around in some city drinking, smoking somewhere going, man, they played me, man, just because I got injured. That wasn't my fault. No. Dude, you should have played. You had to play through the pain. Because when the game is on the line, it's the last game of the year, and we need to win the championship, and you go, I stubbed my toe, right? You could cost them the game because you stubbed your toe, and anybody that's an athlete understands adrenaline kick in when you don't even know you injured. So can we play with pain? Or every time we get pain, does that, shut it down. Shut it down. Hey, shut that down. Pastor Mel, stay in the bed. Don't get out the bed. Lamar, don't go anywhere. Just stay at the house. We're shutting it down. We won't be having no church till everybody's not uncomfortable. We don't, pain. You can press until you feel pain. If you feel pain, hey, you need a permission slip? Not to show up for purpose class? No. That's not us. We high character people. We play with pain. We play when it's uncomfortable. When things don't go our way, you supposed to stop me? Bring it. You don't see stuff, man, when you don't do that. I see things. I've experienced things. We've experienced things on the other side of pain. Oh, did you say on the other side of pain there's peace? On the other side of pain, no, we said you got to push past the pain, right? As you told my granddaughter, you said on the side of pain there's peace. There's love. There's you did love with the heart. And what'd you say? There's a whole bunch of stuff on the other side of pain. And I'm telling you, I seen it. Like, it just looked insurmountable. And it hurt. I was lifting today. We had played, and I was lifting with Kyron. Kyron was spotting me. He was not benching with me because he hurt his hand. No, I was just playing. He couldn't grip the bar for real. For real. I was just picking with you if you ever hear this or watch this. Right? But so I was lifting, and I kept telling him, I said, man, this stuff hurt. Like, bad. Like, the weight was heavy. Because, I took some time off. I just didn't feel like doing it, but I did it. I don't have to do it. I ain't trying to play no professional nothing. Professional preacher. That's what I'm trying to play. Right? But I did it because I love it. I don't like it, but I love it. Push past that pain, y'all. Push past that pain. So again, with the first 150 years was about that solid character. Press past the pain. You've heard the phrase, no pain, no gain. Now, you can't go, she hurt me. Otherwise interpreted, did not esteem my ego. So that means you're going to abort purpose because you got your feelings hurt? Oh, they said something. Why'd you talk about the truth about how I look today? We get mad over that. Somebody tell you exactly how you look and you're offended. No, we got to press through that. We got to get to a point. And I'll end here. The last 50 years hasn't been about the image of character. It's been about being superficial. These last 50 years from the 60s up until now is all about hustle. Sex success is more about personality, public image, attitudes, behaviors, skills, techniques, things that lubricate, that gives us that attaboy or a positive mental attitude. But none of those things are about character. It's all about how you look on the outside, not how you're building yourself on the inside. And that's dangerous for us. So it takes courage to grow from the self-medicating freelance and start to be a part of God's team. So again, character is the relationship between a public you and a private you. How close are they really? Is it two different people? Or are they one? Public and private you, same person? So I'll give you this last statement. Remember, we're forging covenant relationships, right? Covenant friends are connected to authentic, genuine character in you. Acquaintances are only connected to the surface characterization. So that means the artistic representation of you. Or, as I've said before here, the surrogate you. I don't know if y'all saw the movie Surrogates. In the movie Surrogates, they had like perfect bodies of themselves, but they were like robots. And so they sat under these machines inside their apartments, and the robot wouldn't live the life form. So the robot could get injured, can get hurt, can run fast, jump high, can leap. But the whole time the person was in the machine, they weren't using their bodies, so their bodies was atrophying. So at the end of the movie, when they unhooked them from their machine. They came outside. Some of them looked like 20 years older than they really were, because the real them had not been stimulated or involved in their life at all. It was a simulated version of them that had been living life for them. And when we don't operate in character, that's what we do. When we have this outside persona that's representing us, but the inner us is not living, so your character is being weakened or atrophied. And so now when purpose shows up, its purpose hovers and it tries to land, but it's saying, it's almost like a meter goes, there's not enough character to handle me. I'm going to have to leave right now. And so his purpose goes back to God, and God says, I send you. What'd you do? There's one enough character, God. Okay, all right, we'll try again. So just something to think about. I got some more stuff here, but I wanted to just challenge us a little bit today, because God's trying to get something to us, and it's coming quicker than we realize. All right, so what do we learn today? Let's